we read our text today, we find Jesus still up in Galilee, up there ministering. This is the point of his life when he had walked on water and was up in that area of Galilee. And as he was there teaching, remember he was teaching about the kingdom of God using parables so that the people could more fully understand him and understand what he was teaching about and what it was about the kingdom of God that they needed to know. Well, as he was in this area, the 15th chapter of Matthew tells us that some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders because they don't wash their hands before they eat?" Now, they would have traveled 75 to 100 miles north, these Pharisees, to confront Jesus about what they thought Jesus' disciples were doing wrong. And they were confronting Jesus about the fact that his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. Now, we know in the Old Testament there's a lot about ceremonial cleansing, that the priests had to be clean and people had to be declared ceremonially clean after certain things in their life had happened. But washing their hands before they ate was not one of the written laws. Okay, this was just simply a traditional interpretation and expansion of the written law by the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees would read these laws of God and then they would expand on them in all different directions so that there were so many little laws the people couldn't keep up with them. And that was part of the problem when Jesus came. He confronted the Pharisees for putting the people under all this pressure because they didn't fulfill the laws. Well, some of these laws were man-made, essentially. They were man-made traditions. And that one of these was washing their hands before they ate. So Jesus replies to them, "Well, then why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Because God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help that I might otherwise have given you, I don't give you,' because that's a gift I'm going to devote to God." In other words, what he was doing, he was criticizing the Pharisees because they were so focused on tradition that they had lost focus on God's commands, which were more important. And one of God's commands was to honor your father and mother. But instead, they were taking the gifts that they should have been using to support their mothers and fathers, and they were giving them to God at the expense and suffering of their mothers and fathers. So he called them hypocrites. He said, "You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, but their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" In other words, what Jesus was doing, he was confronting the Pharisees, the religious leaders, because they were upholding tradition higher than God's commands. You know, we live in a day and age where people say you need to listen to your heart. There's been songs written about that topic, listen to your heart, things like that. But you know, that only goes so far. Because what happens if your heart is not in the right place? You see, it can lead you into very dark places. And what Jesus was always teaching was the importance of having your heart in the right place in order for your practice and your speech to be proper and holy in the sight of God. So he says to the crowd, "What goes into a man's mouth doesn't make him unclean. It's what comes out of his mouth that makes him unclean." Now, in this whole parable, he doesn't talk about what it is that makes one clean, because what he was doing, he was criticizing the Pharisees. Because they were trying to say it's what a person does traditionally that really makes them holy. You see, that was their take, the Pharisees. It's what the people do that makes them holy. Jesus says it's what comes out of them that makes them unclean. The King James Version says, which defileth a man. The word implying pollution or being unholy. So what Jesus was saying, it's not about the traditions of what man does, what humanity does, that makes them holy or clean. It's about their condition of their heart and what comes as a result of that, that one can say, yes, they truly are holy and clean. Well, the disciples came to him and said, well, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? Because he was really shooting it right at the Pharisees. Because they were the ones that by their mouth, the unholiness, the pollution, the defiled condition of their hearts was bubbling up out of them at Jesus, criticizing Jesus because he didn't follow tradition. Jesus says, you guys are so wrapped up in tradition that you're ignoring God's commands and God's word. And he said to the disciples, "Don't let them go. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Remember we talked about the weeds sown in the field by the enemy, that they're going to be taken and they're going to be burned. Same concept. Jesus is saying, let them go. They're blind. They don't understand. Just let them go. They're going to be pulled up. And sadly, they're leading other people in blindness also. So Peter says, well, Jesus, explain this parable to us. Jesus says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? It's only temporary for a time. It doesn't do anything to our bodies. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean because the condition of the heart determines what one says and does. And in this particular case, he was implying it controls the speech of a person when their heart is right. He says, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. All these are driven by a polluted heart. They're all driven by a polluted heart. When Paul was writing to the Romans, he wrote to them that the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, because you see, in the Jewish context, it was all about cleanliness and eating certain foods and not eating certain foods. And we get all wrapped up in that stuff. We get all wrapped up in what we should do. Should we turn to the right? Should we turn to the left? Should we do this? Should we do that? And Matthew is trying to say and telling us about Jesus, that's not what's important. Paul told the Romans, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Holy Spirit, in a person's body, comes in and cleanses the person's heart, turns their heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And what comes from a heart of stone? Coldness. Lifelessness. But a heart of flesh, there's warmth. There's joy. There's peace. You can tell a person who has the Holy Spirit here just talking to them. And it doesn't usually take long. When the prophet Ezekiel wrote concerning the nation and their captivity, remember they went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years, Ezekiel wrote to them and he prophesied that the Lord said, I'll gather you back from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you've been scattered, and I'll give you back the land of Israel. And when they come there, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abomination from it. Speaking of the people, and they did, we learned that in Nehemiah. They came back and they removed all the pagan altars, the detestable things that were there. And the Lord said, I shall give them one heart and shall put a new spirit within them. And I shall take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they will be my people and I shall be their God. People with hearts of flesh. But as for those whose hearts go after their detestable things and abominations, I'll bring their conduct down on their heads, declares the Lord God. When Ezekiel later prophesied concerning the future restoration in the millennial kingdom, he speaks the word of God, and I will take you from the nations and gather you and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Moreover, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. So you see, we understand that there's only one way that we can be clean inside, and that's to have God's Holy Spirit inside us. That God changes our hearts of stone, our filthiness, our dirt inside. You see here, and He cleans that all out. And that happens when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. God's not going to put His Spirit in somebody who doesn't accept what God says for them, and commands them to do, actually. But what happens, and you see, in the Jewish context of that day, the cleansing was through the offerings or the sacrifices. But the blood of the animals simply covered the sins of the people. And the priests would put their hands on the goat. Remember, the people would come up and they literally pray or speak their sins onto the goat. And the priests would come up and lay their hands on the goat and pray and then send the goat out. That was called the scapegoat. In other words, it was symbolizing the removing of sin from the community and from the people. And it happened also through the atoning blood of the animal sacrifice, that the sins were covered over. But with Jesus now, and the blood of the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, our sins are not covered, they're removed as far as the east is from the west. Only through the blood of Christ are our hearts inside washed clean and made pure and holy and undefiled. So our traditions and our religion can do nothing for us. I so often times in talking to people about going to heaven, ask them how they know they're going to heaven, and they start in almost as if they have this list of credentials, things that they've done. And I go to church every Sunday, and I do this, and I do that. And God says, all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags to me, because we cannot cleanse our hearts with our traditions and our religions. The Pharisees thought they could, and Jesus said it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. There was only one way to be clean, and it was through the blood of Christ. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and they're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Due to the hardening of their hearts. Their hearts are darkened. Their understanding is darkened. And they turn from God's ways. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees who came to Him and confronted Him. Why aren't you doing the works? And Jesus said, all the works in the world aren't going to make you clean inside. It's not what you put in. It's what comes out of your life as proof that the Holy Spirit has cleansed you. And when the Holy Spirit has cleansed a person, you will not see evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander come out of a person, bubbling right up out of them. When Jesus said, these are what makes a person unclean. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in all of our traditions and all of our ways that we fail to remember the one true way to be cleansed. So what can we do when we come to that realization? Remember David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba? David was a man after God's own heart. And this gives me a lot of comfort because, you know, if David, a man after God's own heart, can sin against God and break God's laws, of which I want to say, when Jesus lists these things in Matthew 13, they are God's commandments. about what comes out of a person. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Remember, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not give false testimony. You see, when these things come out of our lives, it shows us that our hearts need to be cleansed. So we turn to God like David did. And we say, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. We do that because we know God can. And we confess, I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right, God, when you speak, and you are justified when you judged. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. Cleanse me with hyssop. How many of you know that hyssop was actually used as a laxative in that day? Cleanse me with hyssop, inside and out, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you've crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. David, a man who was after God's own heart and knew God personally, knew that there was only one place he could go to be cleansed. And he prayed this prayer. It's Psalm 51, if you don't know. He goes on to say, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Because he knew when he was cleansed, when he was had a pure heart, when he was restored, he said, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. This was David's prayer. And it's our prayer to a loving God who looks inside us and he sees this inside us. And it's only when we know that this is us and we turn and say, create in me a clean heart, O God, that this is what we are because of Christ. And the work of God in our hearts cleanses us. And the Bible tells us that he is faithful and just, faithful to his word, and just in his power and authority to do it, to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness, if we just ask him. Do not rely on our traditions of our day. Rely on faith in a God who at a moment's notice can come into our hearts and make us clean. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that we have this great hope.